Thanks for tuning into Radio 323. It's time for Power Players. This is your host, Ken Watmore. And during this program, we're going to talk to people about their stories, about how Christ has impacted their lives and what they're doing with the platform that he's given them. You and I have a story, and so does everybody else. And this is a show where we don't leave any stone unturned. We're talking to professional leaders from athletics, coaches, business leaders, entertainers, people like you and me. We all have a very unique testimony and an opportunity to share Christ with the world through it. So we're going to talk to people about just that, and hopefully you will be blessed by the next half hour or so. Sit back and enjoy the show, and then tune in every week, Monday through Friday at 9 o'clock to hear Power Players Radio. Well, thanks for joining me. This is Ken Watmore, your host, and I have a tremendous guest with me today. Tremendous because it's just a remarkable story. Andy is a new friend of mine. His name's Andy Peterson with LK Ministries, and that LK stands for Lion King Ministries, and we'll unpack that here in a minute. But Andy, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, Ken, and I appreciate the opportunity. It's an honor to be part of your program here, and hats off to you for doing such a work for Jesus here. It's fantastic that people can turn their radio station to something like this, so hats off to you for that, my friend.
Well, thanks, man. We're honored. We're honored to have you. You've been on so many shows since this happened. We're going to go back in a minute to 1998 and talk about your story a bit. And just so my listeners know, I want to encourage you, I'm going to say it a couple times through the show, that you can go to lkministries.com, because I want you to read about Andy a little bit, and I want your businesses and all the opportunities that you might have out there for Andy to come speak. It'll be a moving experience for you, and you'll figure out why here in a minute. Andy, let's go back to 1998 and talk about your story. I haven't revealed any of it yet, so let's go ahead and get into that a little bit.
Well, I was moved from Minnesota up to Colorado by myself. I actually clashed with my family and decided, well, I got to go out and get away and try to figure out what life is all about. So I packed everything up, moved out to Colorado, and got into the park ranger. I loved the outdoors. And started working at the City of Lakewood Parks. Well, about 15 miles southwest of Denver is a park named Roxborough State Park. And there's four trails, three smaller trails a mile or shorter, and there's another larger trail called Carpenter's Peak Trail, which is 3.2-mile climb up to roughly about a 7,200-foot summit. And the trail itself, switchbacks back and forth, and it's really not a wide trail because all this the brush and scrub oak mainly keeps you on the trail. And so I would take this, once a month, a couple times a month, just to kind of take a break from life and, all the traffic and noise and your everyday thing. And to back up a second, I grew up in a kind of a Brady Bunch type family. It was divorced, remarried, both sides, so I had all the stepbrothers, two adopted brothers, a sister, and it was kind of a fend for yourself type lifestyle. And was just pretty much God was up there and I was down here, and that was the extent of that. And if something good happened, super about time. If something bad happened, well, what's up with that? And you would just kind of, if I stepped on somebody's toes, they'd get over it, but I got a little bit ahead in life. And that's just how we grew up, survival, if you will, right, of the fittest type thing. And so I just, I had to get away, and sure enough, April 30th, 1998, I showed up at Roxborough State Park. It was around noon, 80-degree, clear day, not a cloud in the sky, and said hi to the visitor centers, the park rangers down there at the visitor center, and took off up on the trail. Just me, a little pack around my hip, water bottle, an orange, little Swiss Army knife, nothing major. I mean, I'm from Minnesota. You get mosquitoes and walleye mainly there. So I figured, okay, well, we're just going on the hike again. And passed one gentleman right at the beginning, and so up on the top, about 100 yards from the top, there's four ladies on the way down, and I couldn't even look them in the eye to give them a sincere hello. It was kind of my mountain, my trail. I took this all the time, and I always was hoping that nobody's at the top, so it's kind of a king of the mountain type thing, so just me. Right. And that passed right by him again. Didn't look him in the eyes, really. Just kind of get out of here. It's here I come. Sat up on the top for a while. And what's really cool about this trail is when you're up on top, you can look, which is almost 60 miles away out east, and you can see Denver International Airport. You can follow the foothills all the way up towards, you know, up there by Boulder, Estes Park, Rocky Mountain National Park, up facing that view. And behind you in south and west is, you know, mountain ranges, South Platte River. It's just gorgeous, just as tranquil and panoramic as you get. So it's just a fantastic view up on top. And I sat up there for a while and threw everything in the pack and kind of realized, well, I got a bunch of errands I'm supposed to get done. So here we go. And on my way down, there was two flowers. And I'm not a professional in flowers, but it was nothing grows on this trail because it's pretty much everything gets trampled. Right. And I didn't see this on my way up, but on the way down, very, very bright, vivid purple and white flowers, identical, stopped me in my tracks. I kind of knelt down and looked at it a little bit, and, well, that's kind of neat. And all of a sudden, a little breeze came across over the mountain and you know, over me and kind of brought my eyes up. And right then, a little stronger breeze came, and almost like a front was coming in. And straight ahead was, you know, 20, 30 feet in front of me was a pine tree there. And there was a mountain lion sitting under that pine tree. You could hear some snap sounds of whatever it was chewing. And his head shot off, looked the opposite way, and then paused for a little while, a few seconds, and then went back down. So it never even saw me. So here I'm just thrilled, ready to scream at anybody, check this out. This is, look at, here it is, right here, mountain lion in the flesh, not 20, 30 feet from me. And I'm only 5'6". It all of a sudden that excitement turned to fear because it made me feel really small and vulnerable, and there's nobody up here. It's just me, and here's this one of the most powerful animals. And what a lot of people don't realize on these animals is males can easily grow, you know, 200 plus pounds, females easily 125 plus pounds. These animals, and I know you and I spoke about kids and football and sports and in a weight room. If any guy is listening that's been in a weight room, have them put two big 45-pound plates in their mouth, stand at one end zone, do a 100-yard dash to the other side of the football field without that 100 pounds dropping.
Right.
Then jump up over an 8-9 foot wall with that in its mouth. They can stand at the goal line and jump 40 feet, not 40 yards, but 40 feet on a standstill. And they usually surprise ambush their prey. Deer is their favorite. They sever the spine, bust the vertebrae, and then they haul off whatever they grabbed. And you know, it stops breathing, they haul it off, and they pretty much chew on that, tear and swallow for the next 2-3 days as their meal. So these animals are so incredibly powerful.
Hmm.
But I got to sit and watch this cat for a few minutes, and I realized, okay, I got to do something, because if this thing sees me, I have nothing. And so I reached back in my pack, and a little Swiss Army knife that I had unfolded all the blades on it and kind of made like a makeshift weapon as the two big blades, you know, the screwdriver end part. I had them all ready to go, and I realized this is just going to cut my own hand off. So I started folding in the blades, was just going to go with the one main blade, and when I still watching this cat under the tree, and when I folded in the screwdriver part, sure enough, it made a little snap sound, snapped out of my hand, made a little snap sound, and I looked up, and the cat was gone. Blink of an eye, this cat was gone. Didn't even see this thing move.
Wow.
And the trail did like a U-shaped. And further down the trail, right there around the corner, sure enough, I locked eyes with this mountain lion peeking around this corner, staring right at me. And these animals don't look at you like you would look at a spouse or brother or best friend. They look right through you as though they can totally open you up.
Yeah.
see every fear, every thought, every strategy that you're trying to plan, everything, every joy, everything about you. It's like they just open up and read you like a book. And so we had about a 7-10 minute stare off, staring at each other, and I realized, hey, it's your mountain, not mine. Right. And so I started backing up, and as soon as the brush kind of broke our view, again, a blink of an eye, these things are so quick. The cat was right in front of me, head came above my waist, just bam, right there. Blink of an eye was there. I took one step down. There was a little clearing on the uphill side, and this trail is about a 1,000-foot incline, so it's relatively steep. And so the cat jumped on the uphill side, you know, getting the advantage right away. And I took one more step, and with that other step, that's when the cat just lunged at me, slammed into my chest, broke some of the skin, got the blood going. The claws kind of popped around my neck a little bit. Thankfully, I got up. Got out of the grasp and the claws, jumped back on the trail. The cat leaped, jumped again, missed 90 yards down the trail. I'm running backwards, yelling at this cat, trying to, you know, do everything you can to scare and you know, throw this cat away, and the thing's just walking almost like a playful prance, if you will, just following me with no effort, and I'm running as fast as I can backwards, trying not to fall or lose footing. I got my shirt that was tied around my waist, my fanny pack all in front, waving at this thing, and here comes, you know, the cat, and at the end of about 90 yards, there was 3 boulder steps, almost like a 3-foot drop of kind of rock. And I stopped at the top of those. The cat stopped. And my right and my arm, I had the fanny pack, so I took a swing with that, just missed the cat's nose. I took a swing with my left arm, which had the knife gripped in it, and again, just missed the cat's nose and realized, you know, just keep getting down. Hopefully somebody's going to be around to help me. So I jumped down. That was the first time we were eye to eye. Looked right. The cat looked same height, same everything. Leaped, slammed into me. We got thrown 10 feet down the trail, rolling, slammed up against the 2-3-inch diameter trees, snapped them right off. The cat slammed up against one of the big bushes, kind of on its back. But at that point, I was getting dragged with it. The bottom jaw was just in the forehead, top of the forehead and the hairline. The top jaw was in the back top of the head. The claws, the front claws, one on each part of my neck. You could hear the, you know, pop, 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 pop into my neck. And just the claws, you could just feel dig deeper in and pull me down like a vice grip. The bottom claws, bottom legs were all up in my thighs, you know, kind of thrown around by my gut and my thighs, and you could hear the, you know, sounds twice, bit twice, and stopped. And right there in front of me, I'm on my knees with my head in the lion's mouth. Here's this tooth, you know, 1-inch easily tooth looking right in my eye, like I had a faucet on my head. Any head wound anybody's had, they know what that's all about. And I remembered I had a knife in my hand. I started going as hard as I could into the cat's neck. Nothing gave, nothing tore, nothing ripped open. And so I started swinging up on the cat's head. And again, you know, I took 2-3 swings at the thing, and something didn't feel right. And I glanced over at my hand, and sadly, Swiss Army knives don't have locks in them. Yeah. And so here's every time I'm swinging at this thing, the knife's going through my hand, so it was basically worthless knife, and mainly upset the cat again, so I'm basically just punching this thing. So the claws popped out of my neck, took 2 swings at my face, one connected my left eye, ripped, you could hear the just loud pop right there below my eye, ripped a 4-inch gash under my eye. The claws went back in, again, more sounds popping in, and even tighter, pulled me down even further. And the teeth raked, you know, the sound 4 more times over my head, over my skull. And at that point, I realized that this was real, that life at this point was as real as I've ever felt it before. That if I don't get out of here, that I am in real serious trouble. That's the end. I was 24 years old at the time. I was not ready to die, not ready to go at all. It started flashing through my head. My family, who I would easily have stolen $20 for if it got me ahead, started, you know, there goes my mom and my dad and my brothers and sister and my aunt and uncle. Everybody from my family started flashing through my head of how I treated them. My friends from school, which at the time were just my party friends. See, I've done everything searching, looking for something solid, something secure, whether it was drugs or parties or relationships. I tried all of it in high school. I did everything, but I never touched a needle and I never did heroin. But I did it. I did everything else. And so all of this started flashing through my head that all these friends that, you know, were pretty much just my party buddies were flashing through my head. And then what was called, you know, the legacy left behind. Oh, a nice guy, big deal. You know, I was remembered. At that point, I was not ready to go. I did not want to end like that. And a little adrenaline boost all of a sudden just kicked in. And I reached over the cat's head, undid the knife out of my finger, reached back, and I felt two bumps and on top of my head, and I didn't even think about it. And as hard as I could, it was an opening. And as hard as I could, I started shoving my thumb into the cat's right eye as hard as I could. It almost felt like two eyelids, really. Mm-hmm. It was as hard as I could. And then with the knife open, I took a swing up on the cat's head. Didn't care if I hurt myself, just trying to do anything to get this vice grip, you know, and these claws and teeth off of me so I could get up. And I connected on top of its head to where you heard just this loud baby-like chirp, just this squeal. And then all of a sudden, the claws popped out, and the jaws loosened up. I threw my head back up, jumped back up on the trail. The cat's, the lion's sitting there about 10 feet down, sideways, looking off to the right. Side was all bloody, which was my blood. The right eye was all kind of gray and mushy, and the cat was just kind of standing there.
Wow.
And I'm up on the trail, and hands, left hand's all blood. I don't know what I look like, what's ripped apart, what's working, what's not working. But I saw all these. I realized I gotta hit this thing again, or it's just going to shake it off and come at me again. So I started with my right arm, started picking up all these baseball size rocks, about 10 of them, threw them at them, missed every single one of those. Oh. I'm left-handed, so there you have it. Looked down, ripped about a volleyball, basketball size rock halfway out of the dirt, ripped that out of the dirt, threw it overhead, threw it, and slam, wham, right into the cat's side, and the cat shuffled down a couple more feet, and I realized, now, go, 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 go. From the time I first saw that cat to now I'm running for my life, 30 minutes passed. 30 minutes went by. I took off running, looking behind my shoulder the whole way. It was the end of April. There were still snow drifts, so I would pick up the, you know, I'd run by the snow drift and scoop up some snow, throw it on my head. I didn't know what to do other than just run for my life, and it would fall down, you know, just splatter down all red. I tried to drink my water bottle, couldn't swallow, didn't know if my throat was all ripped apart, so I threw that down, kept running. I kept looking behind me, and about 1 mile left on this trail, there was a huge stand of ponderosa pine trees. It kind of got, you know, it gets a little dark. You're in the trees, and I looked behind my shoulder, and the trail did like a L-type shape that went back up on the left, went, you know, an L going up to the left, and all these trees, and there's a tree in the corner of that curve in the trail. And when I turned around and I looked, sure enough, right there on that tree was the cat again looking at me. And I took two more steps, and are you kidding me? He's back? No, no more, no more, not again. And I realized if I don't turn around, this thing, after all that fighting for, would be for nothing, because the cat's just going to, you know, waiting for this thing to dive on my back,
right,
and take me down. When I turned back around for the second round, if you will, a fight for my life, I didn't see the cat. What I saw was a transparent face of Jesus.
Hmm.
And even Oprah Winfrey asked me, well, how do you know it was Jesus? And the I tell you exactly how I knew that that was somebody that I have to know, because of the overwhelming peace and the overwhelming calm and the overwhelming safety net. Like, I just got picked up by my father. Just got picked up. I got you, son. I got you. You want a second chance in life? Is that why you're running? You want a second chance in life? Then stop all this. Start living for me. You don't worry about this up here. Don't worry about this cat. Start living for me. Go on. Get going. I got this. Don't worry about this. You get down that mountain, I'll give you a second chance in life.
Wow.
So I remember I turned back around after seeing this face and ran as fast as I can. And the only thing I had in my mind was, here is this man who's given me a window here, a door. Go through this, and I get a second chance. I get to try this whole life thing again. And I took off running. The trees opened up. A couple more switchbacks. I saw a couple sitting there on the bench. I just started screaming, help, help, 911, help, Lion, help, help me. And they stood up and eyes all big, and I ran right into them. I dropped knife and everything, ran right into them. They sat me down, started giving me something to drink. I realized, no. He said, keep going. I got to get up. So I stood up, pulled away from them, out of their arms, took off running. There was about an access road for maintenance, about half a mile left, and a bunch of trees in the first half mile from the visitor center. And sure enough, all my screams, those four ladies that I couldn't even give a sincere hello to heard me screaming for help, driving out of the out of the park. They turned around, came running back through that half mile. And what did I do? I ran right by them again. Oh. And got to the maintenance access road. And like, I just took my first breath in that whole time, that the 2.5+ miles I had to run down after the 30-minute battle with the cat evidently took about 15 minutes. And I was told all this by the screams and the time of day. And I'm screaming, you know, or at this access road, take my first breath. And one girl came through the woods there the first half mile with a big pack on her back. And again, I screamed, help me, 911, help me. Well, she took off, initially called Roxborough Fire and Rescue. But watching her run was enough to get one foot in front of another, one foot in front of another, keep going. And also one arm went up over a pair of shoulders, another arm went up over a pair of shoulders. Two of those ladies I couldn't even say hi to, since sincerely, we now had my feet off the ground, basically dragging me the last half mile, saying, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're doing awesome. Finally got to the visitor center. They set me down on the floor. First time I felt pain, felt like my feet were going to explode. One was on my feet. One was up by my head, giving me encouragement. All of a sudden you heard, hoo, 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 hoo. You know, flight for life came, 8-minute helicopter ride to Swedish Medical Center. The surgeon there, and I'll spare his name for purposes. He 20 years as an ER there. He's never used two staple guns. 6 hours of surgery. Halfway through, he said, go get a second staple gun. 70 staples up in my hair, just my hairline alone. If you added it all up, it was about 2 feet of bite marks.
Wow.
Plastic surgery under my eye to repair the 4-inch gash that pretty much was from the eye, corner of the eye below it. And I was anemic, didn't need blood, but pretty close. He said he wished he would have got a picture before he cleaned me up, but the forehead was hanging down from running. You could see my skull. It was like I had a red mask on. Yeah. And that is when, you know, 4 days in the hospital, my dad, who we might have talked every 3 months, he came out to the hospital and said, everybody out. I want to talk to my son. Walks into the room, he says, you finally got some scars like the old man, but how you doing in here? Pointing to his heart. How you doing in here? I said, well, what do you mean? I don't even know. It's almost surreal. Like, I almost just got ate. What just happened? Right. What was this? Because every 20 minutes after the surgery, I was reliving this over and over and over and over, this nightmare. And that night is when he said the sinner's prayer, or when I said the sinner's prayer. I put one foot on God's path, one foot on my path, and it wasn't but a couple, a couple months later that I realized through all the walls and trials that kept coming at me, I was at a party in a bonfire, big kegger again, and I started drinking and smoking dope again. The fire got real hot, and it was almost the God just telling me, do you need another cat, son?
Right.
You need another cat? And at that point, I realized, there goes the joint, there goes the beer, there goes all the party life. And that was that was the time when I put my other foot onto God's path. And as soon as I put that second foot over to God's path and fully went to his path is when I felt that same peace that I felt up when I saw his face. Mm. And so I've learned that, I get hit in life, but nothing without that foundation of God, nothing, you can stand up and you're on that solid rock. So I can give him my heart, give him my life, give him everything, and I just keep my heart and my eyes on him. And it's not about a religion by any means. It is absolutely without question about a relationship with my best friend and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hmm. Dude, I am wiped out after that. I mean, it's so intense. Keep going. Sorry, I cut you off.
No. And please ask me anything if you want. The two verses that I've ran across that touched me the most. One was the first time I was Ken Summers out there, actually, was at Dakota Ridge Assembly. That's the first church I walked into. Mm-hmm. Opened the Bible, and he actually went back up on the trail with me later, but I opened my Bible, and the first verse I opened it up to that I ever read out of a Bible was 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist them, stand firm in the faith. What is really cool about that verse is in 2 Chronicles 16:9, almost like the flip side, instead of the devil taking out, here's God strengthening you. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him, which is both feet on his path.
Well, okay, I'll go back to what I was saying. It's the story is so intense. It's gripping. And when you're telling it, and you're describing the attack, and I mean, it's hard to get your arms around that. I live here in Colorado, and many of our listeners are from Colorado, and they're going to get this maybe in a different way that a lot of people will when it comes to the attack. Let me tell you, dude, I fly fish in Waterton Canyon, which is in Roxborough Park. I'm right there with you, knowing where you're talking about and everything. And I'm sitting here thinking about what that must have looked like. And there's no way that any of us who haven't experienced that can imagine what that really looked like the first time that you saw the lion, the first time that the lion disappeared. And then when he caught your eye and you guys were locked eyes, that, I think we all, any of us who spend any time outdoors here in Colorado, imagine that, because, it's quite possible to run into a mountain lion in Colorado anytime. And it happens a lot, but, it doesn't happen a lot that people are attacked like you were. And what happens even less is that people live to tell about it. And it's gripping all the way through the story. It's almost hard to listen to when you're describing the claws and the teeth and everything. But then there's this breath when you talk about, when you saw Christ's face. That's an experience that I think as believers we all desire so badly, and we all right. We all have a moment where we come to the Lord, and we've got to lay everything at the cross, and then many of us have moments like you did where we decide we're going to put one foot on our path and one foot on his, and then somewhere along the line he shakes us up, and we all have a unique story in that respect. But yours is amazing because there's that breath of life, not even just a breath of fresh air, but there's that breath of life when you felt like you saw Christ's face, and like a child would hear a dad say, I got you. It's so important that people can grab hold of that, because probably I think the most important times in our walk with the Lord is are the times when we can say, you know, we get it, and we felt like a son to a father or a daughter to a father, because those are the times when relationally God says, hey, I created you. I love you. You'll never understand how much I love you, but I want a relationship with you. And man, there's such a telling message in your story, even beyond what you say. And that's that message of salvation and surrender and unconditional love and sacrifice and so many of those areas that we need to understand are hit, you know, in your story. He really is using you and has used this to influence people, to impact their lives, to meet them right where they're at, to challenge them. What this many years after, Andy, what a cool opportunity you have to share this story, to get people gripped to the edge of their seat, and then to share that breath of life with them. And I love seeing how God uses people like that, dude. It's so cool.
It's been an absolutely humbling honor that, you know, 12 years later, he's blessed me with an incredibly godly woman who definitely keeps me in line and accountable, and two children who, you know, would you like to pray? Absolutely. You know, you can ask who lives in your heart, and they know it is Jesus, without question. But what's really cool is some of the best compliments about this entire thing. And I think all people who claim that, yes, I'm a Christian, need to ask, have you ever been told by a stranger that, come up, you love Jesus, don't you? I can tell. Or I asked Jesus into my heart because of you. It's, to me, are some of the most incredible compliments that you can be asked. And I wish that, but of course it wasn't God's time, that I had this when I was younger. But, you know, obviously I wasn't ready. And the doors he's opened, for instance, you mentioned about how gripping this is, you know, every morning it doesn't take me long to say, time out, where are you at, God? Where are you at? Because I'm not starting today without you.
Yeah.
I've done it. It's no fun, but even publishers have come up and wanted to publish this story, but they've wanted to sugarcoat it or change it to because it might hit somebody's comfort zone enough. Well, I hope it does, but I don't want to push it on people so much. I would rather just, this is what happened. This is what my life was like before Jesus. This is what it's like after I met my best friend and Savior, and the, you know, relationships grow. I believe it's 1 Thessalonians 5:17, I believe, you know, pray without ceasing. Never stop talking to them. Just no matter where you are, you can always just sit and talk to him about anything, just like you would a best friend. You know, he'll never stab you in the back. He'll never. What's funny is we've all loved people. And I believe a lot of people can say, I've loved them, but they didn't even give me the time of day, whether it was in high school or in college or what have you. And here you have somebody who wants to love and provide for us. Yet a lot of us, and I'm guilty of it, don't give him enough time. And so how does Jesus feel when we just shun him away and put that one foot on his path and okay, this is as much as I need from you today, God. I can handle all this part. And it took me, 8-9 years after this, and I'm still learning, of course, in my walk with him, which is just incredible and awesome, and I wouldn't change it. I'd go through this all over again if I had to get the blessings today. But I even had to learn to fully lean on God in absolutely every aspect of my life. And there is no way I would go back to my old self. Not a chance.
Yeah. Well, again, just I feel so honored to have you on the show, and I am prayerful that our thanks. Everybody who listens, though, I just pray that they'd be, you know, so blessed by this, and that they'd really take a hard look at where they're at. You know, is there one foot on their own path, like we all tend to do? That's not critical. That's just saying we all find places, even in our life, and if no matter where we're at in our walk with Christ, there's days when we take advantage of that free will, you know, and we just we make a choice to do something on our own for a minute, and we forget that he's right there. And I wish everybody could kind of only for a second, of course, feel what it's like to look in those lions' eyes for a minute, and just, you know, be pierced by that vision, and know that, you know, there's only one way to protect you from that thing, and that is that's the Lord himself. And that's the thing, you know. You read it, 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, roams around you like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You know, resist him, and standing firm in the faith. The vision there is that the devil roams around like a lion. You saw it firsthand. I mean, you saw it firsthand. And if this is a creature here on earth that's, you know, that's a lion that you can escape, imagine the devil and the power that he has. And the only way you're going to get around him is through Christ alone. And
that's true.
Man, oh man. I almost say I'm speechless, but no, everybody that listens to me knows that that's not true. But I'm close enough to it, man. This was an amazing story. I mean, it really is. And excuse me, I'm always careful to use the word story because it sounds like, you know, something made up. But this is for real. Anybody that's listening,
and this is God's story. This is 100%. I'm just blessed that He's chosen me to use me in this. You know, I don't blame the cat. I'll say that right now, because you're probably going to get people writing that the cat's not fault. I don't blame the cat, but I give 100%. This is God's testimony. I'm just glad He uses me.
Yeah, and that's awesome. And yeah. I just, from our short time of knowing each other these last couple of weeks over the phone and voice messages and stuff, I mean, you know, I know that about you, and I want the listeners to know that. But I want to encourage them again to go to lkministries.com. Check this site out. You know, if you've got a place where you might see a place for Andy to come speak, I know he's honored to do that, and I know it'll be a great moving testimony that will impact people's lives for sure. And as for all those people about the animal thing, dude, they can email me. I'm a hunter. I don't have a problem with not liking animals too much. I like to eat them. And I wouldn't mind taking a mountain lion either. Especially now, there's one in particular probably still roaming around up there we'd like to get. Is he, whatever happened?
Yeah, there is, because they about 3 months later, there was up in Green Mountain a gentleman up his tree, and we actually got called over there, and they put a dart in it, and I told them if it's healthy, release it. And the ironic thing was, it was about a 110-pound female, broken paw that healed over the half year, little knife wound on its head, and the right eye was missing, and they released it 40 miles southwest of Denver. So there you have it.
Oh, wow. Well, since you released it, I'd leave it alone. It's not easy to get a lion tag anyway. So. Well, man, this was amazing. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for you to join us. And again, man, I'll encourage our listeners to pray for you. Check out your website, and you and I will stay in contact for sure.
Absolutely. I pray and wish you the best, and I pray God just flourishes this fantastic program that you got in this radio station, and bless you, your family, and your ministry, Ken. You've been nothing but a blessing, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much. I tell people, too, they can follow you on Facebook. Look for Lion King Ministries on Facebook. They can become a fan, or like it now, I guess, is the way to do it.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, Andy Peterson, man. Have a great day. God bless you, bro. Thank you.
Bless you, Ken. I appreciate you, sir.
I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that wraps another edition of Power Players Radio. Thanks for joining us again. You can listen to the program Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. right here on Radio 323. And if you missed a show, go to the website, radio323.com. Subscribe to our podcast. You can always get the programs downloaded right into your iTunes through the podcast, or you can go to our archives page at the same location, radio323.com. Go to the archives page and see any show you might have missed or any show you didn't know existed. It might be there. Check it out. See who we've had on the program. And then give us your feedback. Drop me an email anytime, ken@project323.org. I'd love to hear from you, and keep tuning in to Radio 323 for all this great programming. Help support our ministry if you would. You can go online also and make a secure donation, one time or a recurring monthly donation. We appreciate your support. Keep this very unique Christian programming coming at you. We combine all the elements of Christian radio right here in one place. Talk, sports, music, study, family programming. We put it all in one spot. You don't have to go from dial to dial, and you can listen in while you're surfing the web or while you're working. It's always safe to stream. Again, we appreciate you so much here on Radio 323, and we'll look forward to having you tune in again tomorrow.